Good morning. It's 9 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, in for Joy Cardine this week. We're talking with John Cox during this hour, and whether you know it or not, Mr. Cox is a Republican who is running for the presidency of the United States. We'll be talking with him during the hour about his stance on the issues facing the country and why he has made the decision to run. You're welcome to join in the conversation. If you're familiar with John Cox, let us know what you think. If you're not, listen to his views and then call in. The toll-free number is 800-642-1234. If you are calling from Madison, you can use our local number. It's at 263-1890. John Cox, good morning.
Good morning, Gene. Great to be with you.
It's good to be with you. Now, as I understand it, you are sitting on a tarmac somewhere in an airplane waiting to take off?
A testament to political corruption, Gene. Chicago should have had a third airport built about 25 years ago, except that the Daley administration in Chicago loves the fact that it controls all the jobs and contracts at O'Hare. So, the airplanes are stacked far and wide around Chicago waiting to get in, and I'm one of them. I was supposed to get in last night, but I couldn't do it, so otherwise I'd be on a landline and better able to do your interview.
Well, we'll still be able to talk, and hopefully we'll be able to. You might have to take off or something, and then they shut cell phones off, so we'll do the best we can in the time we've got.
That's great, and I appreciate your effort.
Well, let's start with the obvious. Why would you choose to run for such a high office?
Well, because we've got a lot of challenges ahead of us, and unfortunately, I don't see a Ronald Reagan on the horizon who's going to actually take some action to address these challenges. I've not been a big fan of the Bush administration. I feel we had so much promise with a Republican administration and a Republican Congress, and unfortunately, this Republican Congress spent more money, put our children more in debt, is spending far, far too much of our taxpayer dollars in Iraq, and that concerns me greatly, and I didn't want to support another candidate who would just do the same kinds of things and not address a lot of the challenges that we face, like immigration, tax reform, Social Security, all these hugely important issues. You know, we're just not addressed in this administration, and I don't think any of the Democrat candidates has any answers, but I look at the Republican field, and I don't think, you know, the members of Congress who are running or the governors who are running deserve a promotion given their past records.
And what's your experience? There's another candidate from the Chicago area running for the White House, as I recall, and he's been charged with having a sort of a lack of experience for the job. What do you bring to the table?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, Barack Obama and I both were in a Senate race in 2004. Two of his opponents pretty much shot themselves in the foot, and Mr. Obama waltzed into the Senate seat, and he's done very well. He's got a lot of charisma. He's created a, you know, national buzz. But you're right. He's short on political experience, they say. I would submit to you that he's totally devoid of any real experience in the real world. And that's, I think, one of the big issues I'm going to highlight, Gene, is the fact that we get too many political leaders who spend their entire careers in politics. They just don't have a clue in terms of experiencing what it's like to be in the private sector, creating jobs, risking their own capital. There's nothing like the energy you get from having your own financial future on the line, and most of these politicians are real good at spending other people's money, but when it really comes down to it, Americans day in, day out risk their own financial futures, their own capital, and I think that's a perspective that we should have more of in Washington.
Well, there are a lot of issues that you have. I did have the opportunity to read up on you a bit and take a look at your website and so on. But the one I want to start with, and we're going to start, I guess, with the big ones first in case you have to leave us all of a sudden. But you mentioned somewhere, I read, that if elected, you would be the first CPA in the White House. And you spend a lot of time talking about taxes, and you call that issue the elephant in the room. Why is that?
Because taxes permeate every aspect of our life. You know, when we look at our health care, when we look at our retirement, when we look at providing for our children, when we look at putting a roof over our heads, that all comes down to the growth of the economy and jobs. And if you look at business and the business world, and again, this is a perspective Barack Obama doesn't have because he's never worked in the private sector, and it's a perspective that Rudy Giuliani and John McCain don't have much of either, since their lives have been revolving around politics. When you look at the business world, taxes are the single biggest cost, and they're also the single biggest drags on economic growth for this country. We all have children that we want to have make a success of their lives and get jobs in the future, and our ability to grow the economy is so essential to not only jobs, but also providing for our own care, providing for our own retirements, our college education, all these things. So I believe our tax system needs to be totally revamped. I would throw out the Internal Revenue Code. I would go to a consumption tax, which is far more broad-based. It's far more neutral in regard to the economy. It would free Americans up from this horrendous burden we have in the estimated $250 billion a year we spend doing our taxes, I think, could be better put to use producing new innovations and new ideas that would advance our living standards and not produce a whole bunch of paperwork that just gets sent to Washington.
John Cox is our guest this hour. He is running for the presidency of the United States, and we'll be talking with him about his campaign. We'd like you to join in at 800-642-1234. In Madison, it is 263-1890. I'm Gene Purcell, filling in for Joy Cardine this week here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and I'm Gene Purcell, filling in for Joy Cardine this morning. This hour, we are talking with John Cox, a Republican candidate for President of the United States. And Mr. Cox, you're still with us?
I'm here.
All right. Glad to hear it. Let's continue and talk a little bit about the campaign and how things are going so far. As you may know, as you no doubt know, there's a former Republican governor who is also running for the White House from Wisconsin, Tommy Thompson. There's a lot of other high-profile Republicans who are running. How do you feel about your chances right now? I mean, anybody, I think most people would say you're a long shot.
I have no pretense about that. I certainly do see that I'm a long shot. You know, I'm doing this to get the message out that we need to change some things in Washington. I'm clearly hoping that that message will catch on. And, you know, the thing I've thought about, Gene, is if I don't make this effort, we're just going to get more of the same. And, you know, I've met Governor Thompson. He's a nice man. He spent his entire career in politics, four terms, as governor of Wisconsin. And, you know, I own real estate in Wisconsin. I appreciate the job he did there. But I think we need something different. I think we have had enough of the career politicians. I think it's about time our political leadership involved more than just spending your entire life chasing after political contributions and listening to lobbyists. I think it would be important for our political leaders in the future to actually have some experience creating jobs and risking capital and meeting a budget. Unfortunately, what we're getting more and more of these days are people like Dick Durbin of Illinois, for instance, the U.S. Senator there, who just has done nothing in his life except work for a government in politics, actually. He was a chief of staff and then spent his career as a congressman and a senator. And I just don't believe that that gets you the kind of experience that you should have when you're being asked to guide policy for the private sector. Government has such a huge, huge impact on our daily lives, and our daily lives involve the private sector. If we have political leaders who have never experienced it, I just don't wonder sometimes why our government continues to grow as big as it does when we have a whole raft of leadership that just is in that private sector, in that political world.
John Cox is our guest this hour, Republican candidate for president. And by the way, if you'd like to check out his website, you can do so. It is at cox2008.com. And so if you'd like more information, that's a good place to go. Now, John Cox, one of the things it takes to run a presidential campaign these days is money, and lots of it. And I'm wondering how you're faring in that regard, or if you're going to be able to run, a mean and lean campaign.
Well, I'm certainly running a conservative campaign, as befits a political conservative, Gene. It's hilarious to me to hear Governor Romney of Massachusetts, for example, say he's a fiscal conservative and he's going to run government lean, and he's going out and he's got armies of workers that he's paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to that, you know, just are just a matter of spending and spending and spending. You know, the Internet, 24-hour news, public radio like yours is a good way of getting the word out. I think Howard Dean showed that you don't have to have hundreds of millions of dollars to get a message out if you have a real message. That's what I believe. I have a real message, that we've got urgent problems that need to be addressed, and we need someone other than career politicians to address them. That is, I think, a good message. Governor Romney, Giuliani, Mayor Giuliani, and Senator McCain may need hundreds of millions of dollars to convince people that they actually have some ideas, given that they've been in the public eye for so long and haven't really achieved all that much. You're also finding a Republican base that is just not satisfied with those three, and maybe they'll need hundreds of millions of dollars to convince them. I actually do believe that people will hear the message I'm giving and believe that there is a change necessary in Washington, that we need more citizen legislators, we need more people from the private sector to get involved, and that people who have competence and integrity from the private sector could do a whole lot better job than the career politicians we elect now.
We do have some open lines if you'd like to call, 800-642-1234, and join in. In Madison, it's 263-1890. But right now, let's go to Madison, and Adam joins us on the line. Good morning, Adam.
Greetings. Welcome, Mr. Cox. Hi.
It's okay. It's kind of distracting.
Okay.
But, yeah.
I consider myself to be pro-life. I also consider myself to be very pro-gun control. So I have a problem with politicians who say they're pro-life and pro-gun. It doesn't go together for me, and I'd like you to comment on that.
All
okay.
Right.
I believe in the Second Amendment, and I believe it's there for a reason. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I have a whole army of weapons. I don't. I don't own a gun. But I understand why the Second Amendment is there. I also understand why politicians push gun control. It makes them look like they're tough on crime when they do that. But really and truly, I don't favor gun control because I don't think it's effective. I think what's effective is to go after criminals. And if we create criminals of law-abiding citizens with a lot of gun laws, I believe that that just distracts us from the real issue. And the real issue is putting criminals behind bars, improving our education so that we don't have people turn to crime to begin with. We should make punishment stick, not plea bargain away punishment, because I don't think that helps anybody. And instead, politicians busy themselves with more and more regulations and more gun controls that really don't do much against crime. You know, criminals don't care about a gun control law. They're going to break the law anyway. They're criminals. So why waste our time with that? The reason the Second Amendment is in the law is clear, I think, and that the people who wrote our Constitution believed that that was a defense against a government that would act to deprive us of our rights and liberties, which is where our country comes from. And so there's a good basis for our constitutional right to bear arms, and I think all the bluster and hot air that's spent by politicians just doesn't accomplish a lot to stop crime, which is really what we ought to be working on.
And you also do take a pro-life stance.
I do. I'm the son of a single mom. I'm not a preacher. I'm a Christian, and that's fine. That's my whole life, but that's not my political life. My political life is that we should protect life. My mother was a single mother. She told me that she would have aborted me if it was easy and legal to get an abortion in 1955. I'm kind of glad she didn't do that, aren't you? You wouldn't have an interview this morning. I think it's a responsibility. Life is a responsibility that all of us should take, and I don't make a distinction between a life in a womb and a life outside. I'm not that smart. I just say that we should just protect all life and just leave it at that and take responsibility, men and women.
John Cox is our guest this morning, a Republican candidate for president. And for those of you who have just joined us, he is on a cell phone on a tarmac in Washington, D.C., I think. So that's why you're getting the background noise and so forth, and we apologize for that. Let's go on to another caller right now. Gordon joins us from Madison. Hi, Gordon.
Yes, hi. I'm sorry to say I think this gentleman, I'm an old World War II vet, I think this gentleman reminds me of what President Eisenhower, a Republican, said, beware of the military-industrial complex, all this privatization, and poor old Jesus against the moneylenders. She's all for moneylenders and military-industrial complex. I'm looking for some brave Democrat who says we're going to have enough taxes that we're going to have good public schools, good public highways, good public fire departments, good public a public army, not a private army. So this fellow is sure way off base as far as I'm concerned. Thank you.
Gordon, thanks for the call. And Gordon wants a good old-fashioned Democrat, he says. And John Cox, how would you respond to that?
Well, I think the caller is concerned about all the billions we spend on the military. And you know what? I agree with him. I wish we didn't have to spend it. And I'll tell you what. The Pentagon is going to be one of the areas I'm going to look at for cutting waste and corruption. Believe me, there's a lot of wasted money in the Pentagon from weapons programs that are done for political purposes in somebody's district in order to keep a career politician in office. But I will tell you, I do believe what Ronald Reagan said, and that is we never got into a war because we were too strong. I mean, we got into wars because we were too weak. And so I like the idea that we're going to spend enough money on our military, and I don't know what's enough, but I think we need to have a strong enough military so that nobody in the world feels that they can challenge what we have. Unfortunately, there's a lot of bad people in the world, and a lot of bad people with a lot of money based on oil. I mean, you got a guy like Chavez in Venezuela who is wealthy with oil. You got people in the Middle East, in Iran, who are wealthy with oil. That gives them the ability to buy just horrendous weapons. Weapons I wish didn't exist, but they do, and I can't change that. So I want to make sure that the U.S. is as strong as it can be, because if it isn't, and our way of life is destroyed, we don't have a future, and that's not something I'm interested in.
He also had some concerns about the whole issue of privatization and, you know, in regards to privatizing schools and that sort of thing. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I have to say, I believe in the private sector. I'm a product of the private sector. I believe the incentives in the private sector are necessary. Let's face it. I wish everybody were self-motivated to do a great job just for the reason that they want to do a great job. But you know what? That's not the way the world works. People are incentivized by making money. That's the capitalist system. And unfortunately or unfortunately, that's how people are motivated, for a better future for themselves. That's worked in America. The capitalist system in America has thrived for 250 years. Socialism has been tried all around the globe. The Soviet Union doesn't exist anymore. State-owned, everybody's equal. You know, you'd like to believe that that's the nirvana and the greatest result in the world. But you know what? It doesn't result in improvements of our living standards. The reason that we have the living standards we do today is because somebody decided that they were going to create a better product for us, a better invention, a better...
And we're going to have to leave it there. We're taking a break, Mr. Cox, and we'll return right after this look at the news. So hold tight.
Thanks.
I'm Gene Purcell here for Joy Cardine today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The time is 24 minutes before 8 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and I'm Gene Purcell, filling in for Joy Cardine this week. This hour, we are talking with John Cox, a Republican candidate, an announced Republican candidate, I should point out, for the White House in 2008. And Mr. Cox is on a tarmac in Washington, D.C., waiting for a plane to take off. So we're glad we are able to connect, and apologize for the quality of the line for the listeners. Mr. Cox, we do have some listeners who'd like to join in. Before we go to them, though, a quick question I have for you is, in 2008, you know, there's no real heir apparent right now for the White House. And do you see this as kind of a moment of change in American history?
Exactly. I thought that this would be a time for us to get a real debate going about what kind of future we're going to have in this country, and I hope that still happens. Unfortunately, the mainstream media is into ratings, and they continue to focus most of their attention, if not all their attention, on the so-called celebrity candidates. I'm hoping with the debates, with other things that are going to go on around the country, that we'll get into a good debate about the solutions that we need for this country, the future of our politics, and the future of our leadership. And that's why I decided to do what I'm doing, because it was, a seminal moment in American history when we might actually get some issues aired.
1-800-642-1234 is the toll-free number. We do have an open line right now. In Madison, it is 263-1890. Tom is with us on the phone, and he is in Mason. Hi, Tom.
Hi, is this Mr. Cox?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Tom Nelson Mason. He's actually a retired major. I'm an old vet. And it sure is refreshing to hear somebody that can come up with some practical ideas about how to run for politics. It's come straight forward, and I'm really refreshed today. I'm retired, and I was tired yesterday too. But I don't have anything to ask you other than I have one. Well, just one thing. I would like you to comment on your ideas on immigration. I am very fed up with the way our politicians are taking a look at this. I'll give you an example. When our Bank of America, which I'm still trying to get my money out of, went to fully accepting, giving credit cards to illegal aliens and instead of a social security number, I can't see any better example how people bend over to just get a buck.
John Cox, your thoughts on immigration reform?
Is it exhibited how, I'm sorry, we're going to get an announcement.
Then they reopened Chicago. They gave us
hold on 1 second.
Oh, yeah, we're listening. We're on the plane with you. Okay, we're going to let Mr. Cox listen to his announcement here, and we'll rejoin him in a second. I'll give the phone numbers out one more time. 800-642-1234 is that toll-free number. You can join in the conversation. 263-1890 if you're calling for Madison. So, Mr. Cox,
we're
about to take off. Well, listen, thanks for taking the time to join with us today.
Well, I appreciate that, and appreciate the opportunity, and I apologize for the disruption.
And if you get to the White House, you'll do something about the airlines.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you.
John Cox, thanks for being with us this morning. John Cox, a Republican candidate for president in 2008, and originally he was supposed to be in Chicago this morning, some plane delays. We found him on the plane, on the tarmac, actually, in Washington, D.C. this morning, and so we're only able to have him with us for a portion of the hour. 800-642-1234 is the toll-free number, 263-1890. We're going to continue now our discussion. We'll take the next few calls who have been waiting and find out what they think about John Cox. After that, we are going to go ahead and do a straw poll on who is running for president right now. John Cox is one of, and I'm trying to count here, looks like maybe 20 Republicans who are either potential candidates or announced candidates. And we have almost as many Democrats right now. And I guess the question is, right now, we are still a long way from 2008. And there are certain candidates. You think of Hillary Clinton on the Democratic side. You think of Barack Obama on the Democratic side. On the Republican side, some pretty big names out there as well. Rudy Giuliani, of course. Newt Gingrich thinking about it. He might be a contender. Tommy Thompson from here in Wisconsin. John McCain. Who is your favorite right now and why? And realize, again, that we are still a long way from 2008. 800-642-1234 is the toll-free number to join in with your vote for president right now. In Madison, it is 263-1890. And if you're calling and if you heard part of the conversation with John Cox, what did you think about his attempt at the White House? He calls this I think he used the term watershed moment in American history. He sees this as a real opportunity for somebody different to get into the White House. He sees himself very much, it sounds to me, as being an outsider, someone who is not connected with the current political scene, and someone who would really do something to effect some change. So what do you think about that attitude as well? Is this really a watershed moment in American history? 800-642-1234. We're running a straw poll right now on American president for 2008. We'd like to find out what you think. A lot of candidates to choose from, and quite frankly, a lot of them that you haven't heard of before, probably. I certainly had not heard of John Cox before this morning. There are some other ones here that, you know, it's not quite sure exactly who they are, where they're coming from, but they are all running, and that's kind of the important thing. If there's somebody you favor right now, 263-1890, and you can also join us at email, that's talk@wpr.org. And while we're on the subject of presidential candidates, former Governor Tommy Thompson throwing his hat into the ring, and I read a newspaper article, I think this morning or yesterday, he thinks it's going to happen in Iowa. He's going to wind up at the top of the heap, and then his campaign is just going to take off. So if you'd like to weigh in with that as well, give us a call. Let's go right now to David, who joins us in Milwaukee, and good morning, David.
Good morning. I just saw Bill Richardson on Tavis Smiley's show last night on PBS, and I was very, very impressed with him, both in terms of experience and thoughtfulness and articulation. I guess my ideal ticket would be Richardson for president and Barack Obama vice president.
All right, so there we go. We've got one vote for the Democrats. Do you think that Barack Obama, you say he'd make a good vice president, what do you think his chances are overall right now?
I think they're about as good as anybody's, but I feel like he needs some seasoning, and Richardson has the seasoning to pass on to Barack Obama. That's
all right.
Why I think they'd be a great team.
Okay, we'll mark you down. Thanks for the call, David.
Thank you.
Let's move on to Duluth, Minnesota right now, and Tom joins us. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
All right, who are you interested in for president in 2008?
I like Barack Obama.
And what elements of Barack Obama do you like?
Well, I kind of agree that it's a watershed moment, and I also think that, this is a time when kind of a fresh face, a new place to actually do things. I don't feel that Barack has been kind of bogged down in the politics that we've seen a lot of the other candidates in.
And I think we may have lost Tom's cell phone there, but I think we got the gist of it. He is a Barack Obama fan, and we didn't get to who he'd like for vice president, but we'll put down a one here for Barack Obama. We're doing a straw poll for the remainder of this hour on who you would like to see run for president, who you would like to see win the White House in 2008. We began the hour talking with John Cox, who is a Republican candidate for president, and he was trapped on a plane in Washington, D.C., and we heard the announcement, and he had to go suddenly. So we're rounding out the hour, finding out from listeners who they would like to see in the White House in 2008. Let's go to Tom, who joins us in Milwaukee. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I'd like to see Michael Savage. He's thinking about being a Republican, although he may be an independent at this point. He's actually got a radio show. It's the third highest rated in the country. And on his website, there's been almost 4 million people who have hit on his website asking him to run. And he's got a lot of good ideas, I think.
Yeah, that's right. He's a talk show host, right?
Yes.
And what elements of him do you like?
Well, he's got three main themes: border, language, and culture. And he wants to close the border. He wants it to be English only and throughout the country in all our public documents, dealing with the DMV and everything. And also he wants to keep our culture the way it is and not be diluted and ruined the way things are going.
All right. Thanks for the call, Tom. We appreciate
you.
It. Okay, so right now is the way the straw poll sits as we head into the final quarter hour here on the Ideas Network. We've got a vote for Bill Richardson in the White House in 2008, a vote for Barack Obama, and one vote as well for radio talk show host Michael Savage. We're doing a radio straw poll right now for the remainder of the hour on who you'd like to see in the White House in 2008, and the phone numbers you can join in. We'll take as many calls as we can get. 800-642-1234. In Madison, it is 263 1-800-259-1890. We'll just ask you who you want to vote for and why. So it's simple, and we hope you'll give us a call. 800-642-1234. I'm Gene Purcell in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell in for Joy Cardine this week. Former Vice President Al Gore went before Congress yesterday urging action against what he calls a climate crisis. After 9, Kathleen Dunn and her guests talk about the politics behind global warming. This hour here on the Ideas Network, we are talking presidential politics. We began the hour with a presidential candidate, John Cox, a Republican who has announced earlier this month that he is in the race for the White House, talked with us about his take on some of the issues, and then his plane had to take off. So we're rounding out the hour with a presidential straw poll. Who would you like to see in the White House in 2008? And why? Let's go back to the phones right now. We head up to Rice Lake, and Peggy joins us. Hi, Peggy.
Hi.
All right. Who do you want to see win?
I'd like to see Barack Obama win, and I agree that it's a watershed moment, but it could go either way. It's like a fine line, because if Congress stalls or you know, gets bogged down, it could just be the same old thing. And I like Barack because he isn't seasoned, and could be a lot of fresh new things coming into the White House.
All right. Very good. Peggy, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Let's move on to West Bend right now, and we have a call from Clark. Hi, Clark.
Good morning. Good morning. I was real interested. I thought Mr. Cox had some wonderful ideas. I'm generally not voting in Republican as a rule, and I think, number one, that he was very refreshing. Actually, for another person who's a long shot, if you will, that I really think has a tremendous number of fantastic ideas and has been actually a leader from a long time, is Dennis Kucinich. Mr. Kucinich has been, from the very beginning, against the war and been one of the few people who voted against it on every occasion that he's had an occasion to. And he's got a lot of good ideas about how to redo Social Security. His website is KucinichUS.com. And he's just a fantastic leader, and I think he would make a wonderful president. His long shot probably is just about as much as Mr. Cox, unfortunately. He doesn't have a lot of money behind him. Right now he's trying to get 1 million people to give $50. And if each people give $50, he'll have $50 million in his war chest, and that would be a big start for him.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. Thanks for the insights, Clark. Bye now. Bye-bye. Let's move on to the Fox Valley, and Tammy joins us from Appleton. Hi, Tammy.
Hi.
You're on the air.
I would like to see Barack Obama, and simply put, the reason is because he's not mad at anybody.
And that's it.
That is it.
So he doesn't have an axe to grind? I mean, you just feel like he's got a more positive viewpoint on things.
Exactly. And I love what he stands for. I love his philosophy. But what it comes down to is he's not mad at anybody. And I'm just tired of politicians throwing stones at each other.
All right. Fair enough. Tammy, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're conducting a presidential straw poll for the White House for 2008. We've got about 9 minutes before the top of the hour. Time for you to get in with your call. Let's go to Dubuque, Iowa, and Beth. Hi, Beth.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Say, I'll vote for anybody who's not a lawyer. I truly believe that. The problem with our politicians, they're all lawyers. So if you're a businessman, if you've got a history degree, in theology, I'll vote for you.
Simple as that.
Simple as that.
Beth, thanks for the call.
Keep the lawyers out.
All right. And there's a whole other take on things, and I'll just mark that down as non-lawyer, and we'll try to figure out who might get that vote a bit later on. 800-642-1234. Let's head back to Milwaukee right now. And Chris. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. I'd like to cast my vote for Newt Gingrich.
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot about him. He hasn't made the official announcement yet, though.
He will.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right. What do you like about Newt Gingrich?
Well, I've always liked his contract with America back in 94, and I do believe he would take the war on terror seriously.
And there it is. Chris, thanks for the call. So there we have a vote for Newt Gingrich, a politician who we haven't heard from a lot lately, although you will note
that if you watch a lot of talk shows and read a lot, he is being asked to comment on an awful lot of things lately. And, yeah, speculation is that he might wind up making a run. Let's head down to Chicago right now, and Peter joins us. Hi, Peter.
Good morning. I am definitely voting for Mr. John Cox. He's a breath of fresh air. He grew up poor on the south side of Chicago, and he's counterculture. He's a conservative. He talked about being a citizen legislator. He's not a career politician. And he even wrote a book, Politics or Politicians Incorporated. And I'm just tired of these conservatives with big money. I want a conservative that really wants to protect the sovereignty of our country, who's pro-life, who recognizes the absurdity of a male marrying a male, quote-unquote marrying, a female marrying a female. The conservatives are losing the culture war in America, and we need a strong, no-nonsense candidate like John Cox. You know, he made his money the old-fashioned way. He earned it. He put his way through college, and he's not a career politician.
All right, Peter, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
John Cox, of course, is who we began the hour with, a presidential candidate announced last week, I think, or a week before possibly, that he is running for the White House in 2008 as a Republican. Let's head to La Crosse, and Linda joins us. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Linda. How about that? I say my own name. I'm looking toward John McCain.
Okay.
And I'm a staunch Republican, and I think that he comes with experience. I think that he's more for the common man, and I do not want to see a Democrat in the White House, and that's just my take on it.
Do you think this is a kind of a wide-open moment in history as well? I mean, there's no... there's no vice president going to run, that sort of thing, and there's a real opportunity for John McCain.
Oh, I think it's a tremendous opportunity for anyone at this time, and I think people are fed up with a lot of stuff, and I think they're looking for someone that is maybe different, that isn't maybe, he may be a career politician of sorts, but I think he understands more the common man, and a person that called in, too, about not having a lawyer. You know, I think there's a lot of things that people are just looking for, and it is a breath of something fresh and different, and the non-argument phase that people talked about as well. You know, we need to move on. We need to get some things done in this country, and we can't be fighting amongst ourselves.
Linda, thanks for the call.
Well, thank you. Bye-bye. Yep,
we head up to Egg Harbor right now, and Aaron is on the line. Hi, Aaron.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
So I'd like to vote for myself for president, Aaron Moriarty for president.
Okay, we can just write that in, or?
I will not take any money from any special interests.
Okay.
There will be no war with me, just preemptive diplomacy. I will open the UFO files, open the JFK files, flat tax, universal health care, an Elvis tribute show at the White House for the inauguration of an Elvis tribute artist. Check out elvis-aaron.com.
All right, that's all we got to know. Thanks, Aaron, for the call.
Thank you.
And let's head up to Winona, Minnesota right now, and Jim is on the line. Hi, Jim.
Hi, I would support Victor from Milwaukee.
One of our regular callers here.
And I've never heard him say an unintelligent thing. I wish he would run.
All right. Well, we'll put it out on the air, and we'll see if Victor calls in with a campaign platform that we can all live with. Let's squeeze in at least one more phone call here before we reach the top of the hour. Let's go to Pepin, and Danielle is with us. Hi, Danielle.
Hi. I would go with Mr. Cox, and the reason I would is for the first time I've heard an intelligent answer to the gun control issue. It is not people with guns lawfully that are the criminals. It's the criminals that do not obey the laws. So that is why I would choose one major factor on Mr. Cox's platform.
All right. We appreciate the call, Danielle. Thanks. We head back to Milwaukee right now, and Edwin joins us on the phone. Good morning, Edwin.
Good morning. I'd like to vote for Barack Obama.
Okay. And what do you like about Barack Obama?
I think he's the only politician that's telling the truth from what I've seen. I like to see this country go back where we came from. This is why we came to this country. I come from Africa, and I always had much respect for the United States. And I think the country is losing it now, and we need to regain that.
And you see Barack Obama as being someone who can help do that?
Yes.
All right, very good. Edwin, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, we've got just a couple minutes before the top of the hour, so what we want to do right now is bring you up to speed on the results of our straw poll. And, of course, we have to point out that this is a non-scientific straw poll. It really doesn't mean anything, except it's just a kind of a testing of the waters as to what listeners think about things. I also want to point out and be pretty clear on this that November 2008 is a pretty long way away. And so a lot, long way to go, a lot of candidates to sift and winnow. And so right now let's take a look at who voted for who. Barack Obama is the leader right now as it stands, four votes there. And John Cox, our guest earlier in the hour, you know, he wound up with two votes. So that was pretty good for someone I had not heard of before the top of the hour. Now, as to the rest of the field, there are a lot of candidates out there, and listeners right now appear to be all over the place. First caller began with Bill Richardson for president and Barack Obama for vice president. So had that whole ticket worked out, we had another vote for Dennis Kucinich. We also had a vote for John McCain, a vote for Newt Gingrich, a potential presidential candidate. So we'll see how that turns out. And then also a couple of other votes. Michael Savage, who is a talk show host and commercial broadcasting, also received a vote, even though I don't know that he has indicated that he is going to actually run. Had another vote for a generic, what I'll call a category of non-lawyer. And Aaron Moriarty from Egg Harbor called and nominated himself for the White House. So if you'd like more information on that, you can give him a call. And finally, we had someone who nominated Victor from Milwaukee. And if you listen to the Ideas Network, you know who Victor from Milwaukee is. So perhaps one never knows. I'd like to thank Karen Prager for on-air production for this hour. And thanks to all of you who called in and helped round out our straw poll, our look at presidential politics. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm in for Joy Cardine this morning here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.